Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
So I'm going to hide his word deep in my heart. That's how I can't reach in there and grab it out. Hallelujah. You know, there was one day in the ministry of Yahshua HaMashiach that his disciples came to him. They said, Master HaMashiach, teach us how to pray. He said, when you pray, I want you to pray in this manner. Come on, let's give y'all a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. This is what we should pray with right here. Yeah, come on, put your hands together. Yeah.
Oh, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The kings of your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us evil. You are the power and the kingdom forever. We pray that you come.
Let the
kingdom
come.
Come on, come on, come on.
They want absolutes, but
this is just my opinion. I don't think the Most High is going to give us specific absolutes concerning specific events that will occur. Now, I do believe that there are events that he has already given us and have made them absolute, but there are other events that are not absolute that we're not going to know the exact time and date or the specific time and date of when it should actually occur. But we should be preparing and expecting and with anticipation, waiting for these things to occur because we can see certain signs that are indicating that something is about to occur. So that's why we need to be watchful. We need to be vigilant. We need to be sober. We don't need to be caught up so much the things of this life whereby we lose focus on the things that are to come, you know. And we're definitely living in that time frame. Like I said, I forgot the video. Y'all got to excuse me. I will post it on Facebook after I watch it. I want to watch it first. We'll watch it after the broadcast and everything. But it's a documentary of a man who has done research basically indicating phenomenal events, catastrophical events that have occurred in a seven-year period. And we know that 7 years is very significant as far as prophecy is concerned. The Shabbat day is on the seventh day. You know, Yah, he made the heavens and the earth in 7 days. So we know that 7 days in the Hebrew, it is a number of completion. Just like after every 7 years, there was a release of debts and things of that nature. So we do understand that the number seven is a time of redemption as well. It is a time of redemption, you know. So being that these things are occurring and these things are going to occur, like I said, there are some things that are absolute that we know for sure they're going to transpire. There are other things that are not absolute as far as our understanding of the date and time. But we know that something is about to transpire because we have the Spirit of the Most High. And also we see the signs and indications of certain things will transpire. So that's why we have to be watching and waiting. And like I said, I don't think the Most High is going to give us absolute on every event that are going to transpire, you know, because if Yah gives the world or everybody the revelation of things that are going to transpire at a specific time and specific date, then people will wait to the last minute to prepare. So the Most High wants us to be already prepared. He already wants us to be preparing while it's still called today, because we know when the night season comes that no man's going to be able to work. So even though we don't know the specific time and date that certain things are going to transpire as far as prophetically, we should still be preparing as if they are going to transpire, or as if we know the specific date and time of when they shall transpire. So in that process of preparation, there has to be a vigilant and sober effort. You have to be vigilant. You have to be dedicated. There must be determination to complete whatever task or whatever thing that you're preparing for. You have to have that determination to do it. And as the people of the Most High, we got to make sure that we have that determination and we are sober and we are vigilant. We're being watchful of the times that we are living in. And I know that people talk about the 400-year prophecy as well. And I'm not here to ridicule it or to say that it's not true or anything of that nature. I only have an opinion of it. I've done my research and study on it, and I'm not fully convinced. Now, I'm just saying this for me. I'm not fully convinced that specific date that they came up with is the actual time frame whereby Israel, the true house of Israel, will be redeemed. As far as me personally, and just from my opinion, I'm not sure. I don't have clarity on that from the Spirit of the Most High. That's one thing I would never do. I would never jump on the bandwagon of a doctrine unless I'm fully convinced and I recognize it in my spirit as well, and the Most High revealed it to me that it is so. But the one thing I want to talk about with the prophecy, the 400-year prophecy, is that there's, I believe there's some miscalculations in it, because basically the time and the date of the 400-year prophecy doctrine is predicated on the arrival of the slaves that came to Jamestown, Virginia, okay? But we have to understand that the United States that we live in doesn't make up the whole of the America or the Americas. You have the Caribbean islands, Jamaica, Saint Kitts, even Puerto Rico, and places like that. And you have the islands as well that makes up the whole of the Americas, or the what we know as America. The United States alone does not represent America. America is represented by the United States and the islands as well, like Jamaica, so forth and so on, okay? So that is considered the Americas, or the America. We have to understand that there were already slaves that were exported from Africa, West Africa, and had already shipped over here to the Western Hemisphere, or to the Americas, through slave ships way before the first slaves entered into America. So if we only count from the date that the slaves came into America, then we're leaving out a whole nother chapter in history of slaves that were already imported and already in slavery in the islands. You know what I'm saying? Like Jamaica, like Puerto Rico, and places like that, you know, that all had already slaves there. So the date on the historical date of actually when slavery actually started in the Americas, you know, that date supersedes and started way before the time that slaves came to Virginia. So where do you begin to count the 400-year period? See, that's the whole thing. So everybody wants a specific as far as a date and a time, okay? Our lives run on dates and times, okay? We go to work, we get up. Say for instance, I have to be to work at 8 o'clock, so I have to get up around about 5:30. So the alarm goes off at 5:30. Me and my wife, we get up, we sit around, we talk for a little bit. You know, I shower, I get dressed. She's preparing me my breakfast and everything, my lunch for that day. So I know what specific time I have to be at a specific place. So our lives revolve around absolutes as far as time, as far as dates and things of that nature, but when it comes to the Most High says that these things are going to come as a thief in the night, okay? So that's why we have to always be watching and waiting, okay? See, I don't have to watch and wait for what time frame that I have to go to work. I already know that. You know, there's not a vigilance as far as an expectation for it, because I already know the specific date and time where I'm supposed to get up and make myself ready to go to work, because it has become a routine to me, okay? But if I didn't know the time or the date where I was supposed to go to work, then there would be more of a watchfulness and a vigilance and a soberness to try to determine what time that is. So I would be making preparations way before or ahead to make sure I didn't miss that time or miss that opportunity. And I hope this is a good analogy. I hope I'm bringing out a good analogy, because it's very important that we understand it. And what I'm trying to say is that we need to stop arguing over specific dates and day and time. And we need to begin to prepare ourselves and just be made watchful, because if we're watching for it, then when we're going to see it. But if we got our head turned and we are doing everything else instead of watching and waiting and praying, then we're going to miss it. You hear these false prophets, that's the only thing they do is give a date and time, and none of their prophecies come to fruition. So we have to make sure that we are watching. We have to make sure that we are watching. Watching for the little clues, watching for the little signs, watching for the little indications and things of that nature that Scripture give us, even though we may not understand or know the specifics of the date of when these things shall occur, but we will know and see them when right before they get ready to happen, okay? So that's what I said with the 400-year prophecy, you know, and I'm not saying this to be down on it or anything of that nature. I'm just saying it as an opinion of mine. You know, I do see some flaws in the calculation of it, because if we start with the first imported slaves that came to Jamestown, Virginia, I mean, slaves have already been imported way before that time, way before the first slaves came to Jamestown, Virginia. So are the other slaves included in that time frame as well? If we start from that time period and count 400 years from there, then that is the rest of the Hebrews that were already in places like Jamaica and in the West Coast islands and things of that nature. So what I'm trying to say is that we shouldn't be so much stuck on a specific date per se. We should be preparing. We should be already anticipating and having expectations and being watchful of the times and the seasons. So when those times come, we won't be caught off guard. It's just like the 10 virgins, all right? They did not know what time the bridegroom was going to come. They had no idea. But the wise virgins, they said, look, well, we know he's coming, so we need to go ahead and get oil in our lamp. We're going to go ahead and buy oil. You know, we're not going to wait till the last minute. So they made preparations way before the time. Even though they did not know the time, they knew that something was about to transpire. They knew that the bridegroom was going to come. So they said, we're going to get oil in our lamps just in case he comes that night or something like that. And so we can go out and meet him when he comes. But the other foolish virgins, they did not prepare. They did not go. They did not take heed to the other wise virgins, but they procrastinated. They wasn't watchful. And when the cry came for the bridegroom, when he arrived, they were to go out and meet him because they did not have oil in their lamps. Preparation is a big process of life in general. No matter what you do, you have to make preparations for it. Whether you're getting married, whether you're going for a job, whether you're getting ready to drive your car, there's certain preparations you got to do for your car. You got to make sure that oil is changed, tires are checked, all that stuff. There's always preparations when it comes to life. There's always preparations when it comes to the spiritual things as well. Serving God is about preparation. Serving God is about being watchful and being vigilant, all right? And I'm going to talk about that today. Let's go to First Thessalonians. And I don't plan to be before us long today. I just want to read through this. There's some good things in here that I want to talk about. Hallelujah. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. Now, this is Paul saying this. He's saying of the time and the season. He said, that's the reason why I should be writing this unto you. Why? Because the times and the seasons, all right? How do we understand the times and the seasons, all right? I'm going to define these words. This word time means space of time, fit, special occasions. So there's a special occasion. That word time, I believe, is enunciated as moed, or a fixed time. There are time frames that are fixed and designated by the Most High, and they are absolute. We know how to count them because the Most High told us how to count them. Say, for instance, the feast days. These are times, because they are fixed times, they are fixed seasons, and time frames whereby we are able to count and be able to determine them because they are absolute, okay? He said, and seasons. The word season means occasion, set or proper time, opportunity, all right? brethren, you have no need. He said, there's no need, it's not necessary or requirement that I should write this unto you. Okay, so he's basically letting them know. He said, man, I shouldn't have to write this unto you. I should not be even saying this because of the times and the seasons. Let's go to, I'm gonna put this precept upon precept. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Hallelujah. Chapter 3. Verse 1. There's something that the preacher writes here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Once again, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It says, to everything that is what? A season. Season. This word here, season, is zaman, which means an appointed occasion. And to every or time, to every purpose under the heaven. So there is a season and a time to every purpose, every matter, every desire, everything that concerns life has a time and season. It's the same thing with the Most High. Everything with the Most High has a time and a season. So that's why we have to be made watchful of the times and the seasons. So how are we able to indicate what time and what season that we are in? Or what time and season is about to approach us? Or what we're about to go into, okay? Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Yah established this from the beginning. This is what Yah established from the beginning. So that Yah. He says this, and Yah, Elohim, said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from night, and let them be for what? Signs, and for seasons, for days, and for years. So the signs, the signs in the sky are indications to show us night season, day season, winter, summer, fall, the feast days of Yah. So these signs are in the heavens, and they are for they are for seasons. All right. This word "signs" here in the Hebrew is "oath," which means a sense of a pair or a signal, a beacon. The word "season" here is moed. It is moed, which a fixed time, season, assembly, congregation, place of meeting, appointed, due season. And a symbol. So we have to understand that the coming of the Most High is going to be a moed, because it is a gathering. When Yahshua comes, he said he's going to gather his elect, Israel, of the earth, to meet him. Be a gathering. There's going to be a place whereby we're going to meet Messiah when he comes. So that time is a moed. It is a season. All right, so let's do 1 Thessalonians. I want to go back. I just want to bring that to your attention. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, but for the times and seasons, brothers, I have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of Yah cometh as what? A thief in the night. It's going to come unaware. It's going to come unexpectedly, especially upon the world. It should not take a surprise, okay? Especially if we are watching and waiting, because Yah has given us certain signs, certain indications that would determine, okay, the coming of Messiah is very near. Let me start making preparation. Let me prepare my heart. Let me prepare my mind. Let me prepare my children. Let me prepare my family, all right? Let me prepare physically for this time frame and for this day. There's something else I want to read, too. Something that Messiah said in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 11. Luke chapter 21, verse 11. Messiah says this. He says, and great earthquakes shall there be in diverse places, famine and pestilence, fearful signs, fearful sights, and great signs shall there be where? From heaven. That correlates with Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, okay? So y'all put the firmaments in the heaven to be for seasons, for signs and seasons as well, okay? So by the indications of the signs, times, and seasons, there's no need that Saul should be writing this unto us, even today, because we should know perfectly that the day of Messiah shall come as a thief in the night. Now look at this. He said, for when they shall say what? Shalom and safety, security, peace and safety, security, all right? Then shall sudden destruction come upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Okay, that's one thing, man, that my first experience with my first son, when my wife had our son, Shafacha, you know, man. Women, you know, I have to give a shout out to y'all, because you all are precious. You all are a great gift from Yah, because what you women go through to give us sons and daughters, I mean, that's a very tremendous thing. The pain and the agony, you know, of childbirth, you know, no man, I believe no man, no matter the extremity of a man's ailment, has never experienced that type of pain and that type of travail and anguish in giving childbirth, all right? That's, when I saw my wife, I mean, you know, that was a very scary thing even for me to experience, to see her experience that. So Yah says that's the way it's going to be. He said, when they say peace and safety, he said, you better look for sudden destruction. And it's going to come upon them like a woman travailing with a child, the anguish. So we're coming to some very tumultuous and anguished times. And we already see it already transpiring. We already see it transpiring. So these are indications whereby we know that the coming of Yah is very, very near. And the redemption of Israel is very, very near. He said, but you, brother, are not what? We're not in darkness. We should not be walking in obscurity. We should not be walking in darkness. Our spiritual proclivity, our mental proclivity should be clear. Why? Because we should be children of the day. He said that you are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So it's going to overtake those that are walking in darkness, those who asleep, got their eyes closed. You cannot see with your eyes closed. When you sleep, you cannot see what's going on around you because your eyes are closed. You cannot think mentally because your mind is in a state as well whereby it's hallucinating or dreaming about certain things. So basically, you're living in a unconscious state when you're walking in darkness because you cannot see clearly what's in front of you. You're stumbling. Your eyes are shut. You are in a state of sleep or a state of a comatized state. And many people spiritually, they are in a comatized state spiritually. They are obscured. Their vision is obscured. Everybody's seeking after some type of date, specific date. And there's not going to be a Pacific day. The only warning that we have is to watch and wait. Watch and wait. So that they should not overtake us or overwhelm us like a thief in the night. We should not look at the coming of a Messiah and say, when he comes, oh, man, I didn't know. I didn't prepare. Look at this. Oh, everything is stolen. I didn't secure this. I didn't secure that. No, our house should be intact. If I may use an analogy, you should have a security system on your house so the thief can't break in and steal it. You should be watching. You should be waiting. If you know there's a thief in the community, I remember growing up in the hood until I was about 16 years old. We moved out. I mean, you know, if you knew that someone stole something from your neighbor's house, I mean, in our house, you know, we said watch. We were anticipating that thing to occur. So we watched and we waited. I remember one time my brother, my oldest brother had purchased a dirt bike. And of course he was working on everything, and he had it on our back porch. And the neighbor had some type of go-kart or something, and it got stolen. Well, it was two young dudes that would go around stealing people's stuff, all right? So there was a time whereby we was like, okay, we're gonna take the bike and we're gonna lock it on the rails of the porch, okay? And I remember that we had left, me and my brothers, we had left the house for a little while. My parents, they went home. It was just me and my brothers. We were home that day, and we had left somewhere. I think we had went to the store, and we came back. It was like, oh, man, let's go back and check on the bike and everything, you know, the big dirt bike. It was a big dirt bike. It was a nice bike and everything. So we went back to the house. We just had a feeling, you know. And we went back to the house, and we saw the two culprits there trying to break the railings on the porch, try to steal the bike. And we were able to catch them at that time, you know. So we was able to catch the thief because we was watching, we was waiting, we was anticipating for them to do it because everyone else in the neighborhood had things stolen, okay? So that's the same thing that we should be doing spiritually. We should be watching. We should be waiting. The time and the seasons should not creep on us unaware like a thief has stolen something from us and we weren't ready for it. We weren't watching for it. We weren't anticipating for that, okay? So we're not in darkness. We should not be walking in darkness. That day shall overtake us as a thief in the night. But what he says in verse 6, he said, therefore let us not sleep, do others. Many Israelites today are asleep. They are asleep today. And Yah said that he would pour out the spirit of deep sleep. Did he not say that? Yes, he did. So many are asleep today. They have their eyes shut, their eyes are closed. They're not watching, they're not waiting, they're not vigilant, they're not up, they're not alert, they're not looking, not being watchful. He said, but let us what? He said, let us watch. Let us watch and be sober. It's very important that we watch. Not only that we're watching, but we are sober. This word sober means to abstain from wine. You know, when you're drinking wine, you know, and things of that nature, and you're drunk, of course, you are up. You are up. Your eyes might be open physically, but are you truly watching? No, you're not watching. Your vision becomes obscured because you're intoxicated, because you're not sober. You're not in your right mind. You're delusional. So we cannot allow the wine of fornication, the wine of idolatry, spoken in Revelation chapter 18, where it talks about the great whore. And see, the thing about the great whore people, the great whore is just not a part of the religious system, but the great whore is also associated with kingdoms, governments, rulership as well. Mystery Babylon has infiltrated every sector of society as we know it globally. Because the scripture says that all the kings of the earth have drunken of the wine of her fornication. They have drunken of the wine of her fornication. They are intoxicated with it. They have made themselves drunk. So we cannot be drinking of that wine. We cannot drink of that wine. But we have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. We have to be watching and waiting. And anticipating the coming of Messiah, because it is at hand and is near to come. And there are a lot of things that I truly believe and I sense in my spirit that are going to transpire, and we have to make sure that we are watching. We have to make sure that we are waiting. This word "watch" in the Hebrew, there's many enunciations for the word "watch," but one of them that I want to express it is mishmirith in the Hebrew. All right, this word means the act, custody, the post, preservation, safe, observance, usage, charge, keep, safeguard, watch, ward, all right? So when you're watching, you're safeguarding yourself. When you're watching, you're making use of something. You are observing. Observance associated with that. And with observance, with safeguarding, with that charge, all right? There is preservation, preserving yourself by watching. You are preserving yourself by watching. When in earlier years when I was a lad, you know, I learned to build. I learned to do a lot of trades and things from being that in my life, you know, spiritually and as well. And one thing I remember, there was an old man, his name was Elder Banks. We call him Bishop Banks then, but he was an elder in our assembly, and he was a master carpenter. You know, he did carpentry work all his life. And there's one thing I was prone to ask questions. And he said to me, he said, Brother Pat, he said, the best way to learn is by observation, by watching. And then once you watch and you observe what I'm doing, then you won't have to ask as many questions. When you have the ability to observe and to watch and do something rather than ask them question after question, because a lot of times what happens, questions lead to more questions, and you never get the answer. Okay? That's why the scripture tells us, don't think above that which is written. See, a lot of us, we want to think above that, because you see these brothers, they got teachings that are not even written in scripture. And even the book of Sirach even speaks about that as well. Not to ponder on matters that's far above our reach, but the things that the Most High has given us, the things that we are made known to perfect those things. So when we watch, when we're able to exercise the ability of observation, then we don't have to question why, because we are mimicking what we see. And I learned that I have been able to do a lot of things. I'm a musician. I can play guitar, I can play lead guitar, I can play acoustic guitar, I can play bass guitar. When I learned how to play the piano, I did not have a music teacher. Just like the songs that you hear, the two songs that I play at the beginning of the broadcast, these that I wrote, I composed the music in, all right? So when I sit down at the piano, I write a song, I come up with the chords, the music, everything, all right? The beat, all of that. I come up with that, okay? And I didn't learn that. I didn't go to school for that. I taught myself that. And the way that I taught myself was through observation. I remember my pastor years ago, he said to me, he said, Brother Pastor, he said, I feel that Yah has put on my spirit for you to become our musician. And he said, I want you to learn how to play the piano. He went and bought me a Casio piano, a little small Casio piano. I didn't know the first thing about a chord or a note, all right? So I would sit there, try to figure it out and everything of that nature by myself. I went and got me some books and stuff like that and read them. But I still didn't understand the fluidity, the fluidity of how the keys interact, all right? So I said to myself, I said, you know what? The next time I'm going to stop by the music store, and you know there's always musicians coming in there looking at pianos, bass guitars, drum sets. So I would go to the keyboard section. There would be dudes in there playing. I would sit there and just watch them. I wouldn't ask them not one question. I would sit there and just watch them. I said, okay, he hit that note. He put his finger there. Look at that, man. Okay. All right. And then I would go home and do it. And that's how I learned how to play the piano. That's how I learned how to play the keyboard, was by doing that. And I'm not saying that it works for everybody, but I know for me, in my personal life, it has worked. Everything that I do, everything that I learn, if I want to learn something, I observe it. I look at it, I watch it. And that's the same thing with the Most High. In this time frame, in this hour, we have to be observant. We have to watch every detail, everything that's going on in the world today, we have to watch it. We have to be aware of those things. Because in these things, are indications that point to specific prophetic things that are going. Everything that's happening in the world today, I don't care whether it's good or bad, all right, it's all pointing to one main event, and that is the coming of Messiah. Redemption and restoration are true remnant of the house of Israel, all right? So the only way that we are not going to miss it is that we're watching for it. And when we watch and when we observe and when we have are making usage and safeguarding ourselves, in that observation, we are preserving ourselves. Because why? We are making preparations for the main event. Look what he goes on to say. He says, therefore, let us not sleep as others. Verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He said, don't let us sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. He said, for sleep. They sleep in the night, in the dark, in the night season. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Okay? You don't know why a lot of people are asleep, because they're still in the night. They're still in darkness. You don't know why a lot of people are drunken, because they're still walking in darkness. If we say that we are key, true Israelites, and we know that, and we say that we have the testimony of Yahshua HaMashiach, and we're keeping the commandments, we should not be drunk. We should not be in the dark. It should not be a night season for us. Our lives, understanding, should not be of the night season and darkness. He says this in verse 8. This is what we got to do. He said, but let us who are of the day, not of the night. See, if you're up at night, if you're walking in darkness, you can't do this. What Saul was about to exhort us to do. He said, but let us who are of the day be sober. He said, let us be sober. Let us be vigilant. Putting on what? The breastplate of faith. So only those that are of the day can put on that breastplate of faith. He says, not only faith and love, and the helmet for a helmet, the hope of what? Salvation, of redemption, of deliverance. That's why Messiah told his disciples, he said, when you see these things, he said, look up for your salvation, your redemption, draw if not. The redemption of the nation of Israel is when Messiah comes. That's when the nation of Israel shall be redeemed, bought from their oppressors, rescued from their oppressors, rescued from the exile, and rescued from the chastisement that the Most High has put upon us. You know something? You know, I hate when people make these videos about white folks. And I'm not saying this because white folks are innocent, okay? I'm not saying that because of that, okay? Because I did a teaching on white global supremacy. I understand that they are going to be judged too. They're going to be judged. Not all now, but the majority of them are going to be judged, okay, by the Most High. But when people want to talk about, well, the white men doing the one that to us, and they want to blame the white men, everything, it's not the white men's fault that he's doing what he's doing to us. It's our fault. It's our forefathers' fault, because we put our own self in this situation in predicament. If we had stayed true to the covenant of the Most High in the first place, this wouldn't be transpiring. This wouldn't be happening. So we have to take responsibility for ourselves in order to be responsible. You know, that's one thing that I learned, that a responsible person, not responsible, because they do everything, or they take responsibility for everything that they do, right? But a responsible person is made more responsible and shown as a responsible person when he takes responsibility for the mistakes and the wrong is done as well. That's what makes a responsible person responsible. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you have a lot of people that think that they're responsible, okay, yeah, they get to work on time, they do things on time, they take good care of their family, but when they do something wrong, they don't want to take responsibility for it. Is that a true responsible person? No. A true responsible person takes responsibility for their achievements and for the things they have not yet achieved, for the right that they have done and the wrongs that they have done. That's a responsible person. And once we become responsible people and begin to put the blame where it belongs, and that is on, and understand through mercy and through the chassid, or the terminology many people know today as grace, favor of the Most High, His show, we are able to rectify those wrongs and begin to put ourselves back on track. Not only us, but back on track as well. So on that helmet of the expectation saddle, we're looking for the expectation of salvation. We're anticipating for the expectation of redemption. And I'm not talking about just salvation from sin. We know that Messiah, his first coming, was to bring, give us an ever better atonement to atone for our sins. But we're talking about salvation as far as redemption as a nation of people out of the four corners of the world, whereby we are restored to the rightful place of sonship and daughtership that we are of. I have a teaching I'm going to do on auction. I'm probably going to teach this at the Hermitage about the adoption. Just understand that the adoption only pertains to Israel. And I'm not talking about these false Jews over here in the land today. All right? And I will bring that out. That's going to be a very dynamic teaching. I want you, those that are going to be with us in Louisville, Kentucky. Matter of fact, I'm going to be there September the 13th. I'm going to be at Hamashiach Temple. I came with Abraham. He is the shepherd there at that congregation, the watchman at the congregation there in Louisville, Kentucky, Hamashiach Temple. I'm going to do an event page. I'm going to post this information there. So those of you that you want to come out and visit and hear the teaching, I'm going to be teaching that the closing of the day, and we're going to have a community outreach event day, and I'm going to put up the evening teaching or evening speech for that event on Sunday. But I got two different Sabbaths, all right? One is going to be concerning. Now, I want you to hear that teaching. It's going to be a very dynamic teaching, so I want to show you that. Well, some people want to associate that with believers, and I'm not against it, believe me, y'all. I put scripture in this rightful perspective. Salvation to who first? The Israelite first. That's what y'all said. It's to them first, then to the other nations or the Gentiles. He goes on to say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, he said, "For Yah has not appointed us chaff," he must to wrath, "but he has appointed us to salvation by our Master Yahshua HaMashiach, who died for us, that whether we wake or asleep," and he's talking about whether we are alive or dead, "we shall live together with him." He said, "Wherefore, comfort yourself together and edify." This is what we should be doing. Look, this is what we should be doing as a nation of people, as Israel. We shouldn't be fighting. We shouldn't be talking about each other. We shouldn't be standing behind each other's back. We should beat each other. We got the world already doing that ready. All right? We got the world already talking against us, coming against us, shooting, killing us. So as Israel, we don't need to be that. We don't need to be hating each other. We need to be preaching each other instead of one other. Edifying one another. It's not about, okay, I'm Moray this, or I'm Raha Pathway this, or I'm a Nabi Bim, I'm a master teacher. I know more than you. It's not about that. It's about edifying each other by what we have, the knowledge that we have received from the Most High, and comforting each other through our circumstances and situations that we go through. So, you do. Verse 12, he said, "We beseech you, brother, to know them that labor among you and are over you in Messiah and admonish you." All right? You know, that's one thing that people teach. Well, I ain't got to listen to nobody, you know. Got a father or a man or so forth and so on, okay? I understand that to a certain extent. I understand that, okay? But we cannot negate the fact that Yah has called men to lead his people. He did it in the Old Testament, and it's still, he's doing still today. It's called men to lead. Man is the leader. And the leader in the body of Messiah as well, a leader in the body of Messiah. We know the Messiah is, but under Messiah, he has set forth gifts in the assembly, and these gifts are to edify each other until we all come into the knowledge of the truth. So give them that labor, that work hard. They toil and they labor among you. Know their labor, know their heart, know their dedication. And he said, that are what? They are you and before. That's what that word means. To practice. When we look at this word over, they have dictatorship, or they tell you what to do, or they run your life. That's not what they do. They stand before you. That is, they proceed. To maintain. They are examples of their labor. They practice what they preach. They practice what they teach. And they stand before you. They are examples of truth and righteousness and the right rulings of the Most High. Verse 13. And to esteem them highly. Suppose their works to esteem them very highly, not because of their not because of what they call themselves, but because of their work, because of their intense labor, because of their determination for the people of the Most High. He said, and be at peace among yourselves. Have with brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient towards all men. So these are the things that we should do in the body of Messiah. As we are watching, as we are seeing, observe someone that has a feeble mind. We can't observe someone that needs to be comforted if we're walking in darkness. But you want them that are unruly. He said, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. But every follow that which is good. He said, but everyone follow that which is good, both among yourself and to others evermore. Pray without ceasing in what something. In everything give to Yah, for this is the will of Yah in Messiah Yahshua concerning you. He said, quench not the spirit, not prophesying, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. So all things. You test it. You test it not by your own theology or your own philosophy, but you test it according to Scripture. Does it align with Scripture? And if it does, then you hold fast to that which is good. If it's wrong, then you discard that which is bad. He says, abstain from the appearance of evil. And to every and the very Elohim of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, Elohim, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of Yahshua. Faithful is he that calleth you, and also you do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren, bless our holy kiss. I charge you by Yahshua that this epistle be read unto the holy brethren. The favor of Master Yahshua HaMashiach be. Amen. So we do tell Yah for this chapter, this reading today. I pray it was a great inspiration to your heart. Let us be watchful. Let us be waiting. Let us be sober. Let us be as others that sleep. But let us be sober. Understanding the time frame that we are in. Let us comfort one another. Let us warn them that are unruly. Because we're coming on the time whereby we're going to need comforting. We're going to need to be edified. We're going to need brothers and sisters around us to help strengthen us. It's too much fighting in the body of Messiah, too much skirmishes and things of that nature. You need to get on one with Yah. That way we can get on one accord with one another. Teach permission to you. We're going to open up the phone lines at this time. The number to call in is 760-283-4615. Once again, the number to call in is 760-283-4615. You will be on the air live with Rahab Pastor Will, Yaakov, Ben Yaakov. I'm going to play a few songs. We're going to open up once again to call into the show, 760-283-4615. You will be on the air live with Rahab Pastor Will, Ben Yaakov.
You know, there was one day in the ministry of Yahshua HaMashiach, and his disciples came to him. They said, Master, HaMashiach, teach us how to pray. He said, when you pray, I want you to pray in this manner. Come on, let's give y'all a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. This is what we should pray right here. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Yeah.
Oh, our Father is God in heaven, hallowed be your name. The kings of your will be done, older than you will be. Heaven, give us this day a amen. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass his us. And we start in temptation, but deliver us evil. You are the power and the kingdom forever. Forever. We pray that you come.
Let your
power
be
done. So lift your head up, keep looking to the sky. Israel, you'll be built in love.
Let's see that verse one more time.
I'm Forever, the kingdom is forever.
I'm going to give y'all a shout of praise.
Shalom, Kol Yisrael. You're listening to Sound of Trumpet Radio Ministry. I'm your host, Raha Pathuel Ben Yaakov. It's been such a pleasure being joined with you all today, my brothers and sisters. At this time, we're going to open up the phone lines, and I'm going to bring online area code 67880. Once again, I'm going to bring online area code 678-580. We air live with Raha Pathuel Ben Yaakov. Shabbat Shalom, area code 678-580. You're on the air live with Raha Pathuel. Shabbat Shalom, 580. You're on the air live with Ben Yaakov. Shalom. All right, Todaya. We couldn't get that caller on the line at this time, so we're going to try someone else. We're going to bring, this is my brother here. We're going to bring him online. Brother Randy, area code 573-223. Area code 5223. We're going to be air live. Brother Randy. Shabbat Shalom.
Hello, Pat.
Hello, Randy. Shabbat Shalom to you.
Hey, Barcelona, your radio station is kind of loud, clear, Pat, but I told y'all for the multi-words, but I told y'all for that.
Hallelujah, Todaya. And we want to tell that y'all, too, Randy, for y'all allowing you to see another year of life as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
All right, then. Thank you for letting us know the broadcast and everything coming in clear. I appreciate it. Love you.
No problem, Pastor. I love you too.
All right. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
All right. We told our y'all, that's my brother. That's my actual, not my spiritual brother, my physical brother as well. We told our y'all for him tuning into the broadcast today. Told our y'all for that. So he letting us know that the broadcast, everything is coming in clear and everything of that nature. So we told our y'all for that. I pray that the teaching was a great blessing to your heart. Today, those of you, if you'd like to call in today, the number is 760-283-4615. You'll be on the air live with Raha Pathuel Ben Yaakov. I have another song I want to play as well. This song is entitled "That I May Not Sin Against You," okay? Let me play this right here.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's give y'all a hands up and pray. You know, Darwin said, he said, "I will hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." How many of you don't want to sin against the Most High tonight? Come on. Let me see a show of hands. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together. Yeah. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to give y'all another hand clap of praise. That's my heart's desire. I don't want to sin against the Most High.
Hallelujah. Todaya. Once again, this is Raha Pastor Well Ben Yaakov. It's been such a pleasure being joined with you all today. I pray that the teaching today was a great inspiration to your heart. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and shut down the broadcast for today. In terms of the broadcast next week, as we will be going over some topics, much needed topics that we want to talk about and discuss. If you'd like to write me, my email address is truewomenministry@gmail.com. If you'd like to call me, you can call me. My number is 573-944-6786. My phone number is 573-944-6786. I pray that you all have a blessed Shabbat day. I pray that the teacher was a great inspiration to your heart today. Until next time, we say shalom to you in the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach. Shalom.